So we have a basic truth, and the basic truth is that we are standing before God, and it does not matter how far we've wandered from Him, we are still standing before God. It does not matter what is going on in the soul or whether we are aware that God knows us and sees us. He sees everything down to the deepest part of who we are, and that is your basic truth. And so, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And they stand before God. Do you know what the word confess actually means? Because the basic meaning of confess is not to admit that you're wrong or admit that you've sinned. That's not the basic meaning. When you dig into the root words, confess actually means to speak together. It's from the Latin. Had a younger fellow tell me that one day. And it makes sense. And so in our church service, we confess in different ways. Later on in the service, we will confess the creed. We will confess our faith. We will be speaking together with God the truths that God has told us. And so when we, just a few minutes ago, confessed our sins, what we were doing was we were speaking together with God, speaking the truths that He has told us. And the design is, of course, that the whole church service is one of confession, speaking together with God. In our older blue hymnals, page 6, the introductory remarks, it said, we repeat back to God what He has first said to us, and that's the pattern of our worship. And so what God says to us, we simply step forward and we say, yes, Lord, and these are the truths that You have told us. So we confess. The Pharisee, he goes and he wants to stand before God and speak about the blessings that he has in his life, that he has not turned out like others. And yeah, those are blessings. And he wants to speak about the things that he does not do. And yes, those are blessings to be kept back from sin. And he wants to speak about the things that he does religiously. And by the way, the Pharisees were very good people. They gave alms to the poor. They did all sorts of things. They were very religious. They fasted. They prayed. They read their scriptures. And so he can confess this part that God has given blessings, but when he will not confess that other part, then he has stepped out of that agreement with God. And the basic truth is that we have sinned. We are sinners. And in the face of that basic truth, there's a long history in this world of avoiding that truth, isn't there? There are whole religions built around denying the truth that we are sinners. There are whole professions built around refusing to admit that we have done wrong. Lawyers. There are whole professions built around not wanting to face the sin. Psychiatry. And out of all of these things, the human race, it is part of what we are because we walked away from God's truth right at the beginning. The whole human race seems to want to stand before God and say, "Look, God, I've got something that I can offer to you." The tax collector stands in the back, standing there in shame before God. He is a sinner. And as he comes before God, he will speak that truth. And the unexpected, why Christianity is that strange other religion, that strange other religion through the whole history of the world, is that Christianity is the one place where the sinner is invited to come to God, to come into the truth, to speak the truth, to stand before God as what we are. Not trying to be something different than what we are. Stand before God as what we are. Because in this religion, this strange Christian religion, sinners are invited and sinners are welcomed. And we have here, we have in this room, we have a collection of sinners. Isn't it wonderful? And you think about the variety of sins that we have brought before God. That's amazing. And there we stand with God welcoming us as sinners into His presence. And by the way, it is a wonderful coincidence that this falls on that other festival Sunday called the Sunday of James the Just. James, the brother of Jesus, who wrote in his epistle, "He who keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point has become guilty of all." That's James. That's James' understanding of what it is to be just. He wouldn't claim that he was just by fulfilling the law. So maybe we should call it the Sunday of James the Justified, who stands like us as a sinner before God, who has a brother named Jesus, who knows every one of James's sins. Think about that. That same brother Jesus knows every one of our sins. Not only what we've done, also what we've said, also what we've thought and desired, and what is deep in our souls. Jesus knows all of those things. So to try and come before Him as something other than what we are, that won't work, will it? And when God knows everything you are, you may as well stand before Him completely open, knowing that you are seen all the way through. This is our Jesus, who knows us, and yet knowing us, He saves, He redeems, He justifies. How does He do that? By taking all of those sins on Himself, lifting them off of us, placing them on Himself, and going to face the punishment that we deserved, that we earned. And so, Jesus welcomes us. Coming out of all of those evasions, coming out of all of those ways of trying to weasel around the truth, welcome into the truth. You are a sinner known by God in the full measure of all of what that means, and yet redeemed, and yet loved, and yet purchased and won and bought by Jesus at the price of his own blood. Catechism moment. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. See, that's our Lutheran amen. This is most certainly true. So we come to the Savior, and what does he invite us to do? Come to him. Come into his presence as we are. Sunday after Sunday, he invites us to come to his table, to take the Lord's Supper. My body given for you, my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. To come to the Lord's Supper, not because we are worthy, not because we have any credit, merit, good works, anything of the sort, but simply because he's our Savior, who has called and invited and redeemed and cleansed and washed us clean of our sins and now invites us to come to him. So, as we prepare for worship, then as we confess our sins and agree with God and we say, yes, Lord, and then he says another truth, and your sins are forgiven, and we say, yes, Lord. And he says, you are redeemed and you are saved, and we say, yes, Lord. And he says, you are mine and you belong to me, and you are mine for all eternity, and you will live with me forever. And we say, oh, yes, Lord. So after we are forgiven and absolved, and told that our sins are washed away, what then does that make us? I was having a discussion with a friend of mine about 10 years ago, and we got onto this subject. He was mentioning that some of his Catholic friends were saying that you go to the Lord's Supper because you have been absolved, and there you are able to stand before God in righteousness. And he said, that's not how I learned it. And then we dug through some of these great Lutheran books, and one of them in particular said that for a Lutheran, after your sins are forgiven, after you are absolved, what you are is a sinner. Doesn't change that fact. A sinner who has had the forgiveness of sins pronounced by Jesus, a sinner who has been forgiven and invited by Jesus, but a sinner nonetheless. And so when we go to the Lord's Supper, we come bringing all of those sins with us, coming as sinners who are not coming because we are so good, who are not coming because we have left the sin behind. No, we're still sinners. But coming because Jesus invites sinners. And we know that Jesus invites sinners to the Lord's Supper. Why? Because he says, for the forgiveness of sins. So we come to him. Redeemed, forgiven, bold to come into His presence as all that we are, knowing that He has taken all that we are, and He is the Redeemer. He is the Savior. He is our Savior. And we are invited. In Jesus' name, amen.